Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Bow together in prayer. Father, thank you for the morning. Lord Jesus, thank you for life. Thank you for eternal life. Thank you for salvation, and it's by way of grace. It's a way of mercy. We studied that this morning in Sunday school, and it is so, so deep. And it goes so far beyond even our frail human thinking. God, would you take over in the service this morning? We pray that in all of it, you would be exalted. If this preacher says something that's out of line, we ask God that you just kind of strike it from the memory of people. God, it'd be better if I don't even say it. I pray, Lord Jesus, instead, that you would lead all through the preaching of God's word. And Lord Jesus, that you would have accomplished here in this place this morning your will. God bless America. God, we're grateful for your hand of mercy. God, we are grateful for every moment we have where you stay judgment. And Lord God, I pray, and we know it's the need of the hour, we pray for revival. God, I pray that what happened on Tuesday wouldn't just be a window so we can continue to live just nominal Christian lives. Instead, God, send a Holy Spirit revival. Lord God, may people get serious about church attendance and reading their Bibles and their prayer closet and winning the lost. Growing in grace every step of the way. Lord God, we pray that your will would be accomplished here in this place this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and be seated. Take your Bibles, turn to the 81st Psalm. I hesitate to turn there because I'm limited by time and space, but God spoke to my heart in the 81st Psalm here this morning. I just want to share just a little bit with you this morning and recognize that that we are blessed of God. We are blessed of God. Now, I was told last Sunday when I was gone down in Roscommon preaching at Emmanuel Baptist Church, and by the way, thank you for praying, 6 adults walked the aisle and got born again in that church service down there. And it was a big push day. They had a lot of visitors. Boy, I thank God for that church, and I thank God for your prayers, you being here at holding the ropes at home. But somebody told me, several people during the week, that last Sunday, in spite of our new additions, the building was packed. Is that true? Yes. You want to know how to make a preacher feel not needed? That is how you do that. And there's a good crowd this morning. And I don't know if it was alluded to last Sunday morning, but I'm telling you right up front, if we stay busy and faithful to God, we built too small. We did. There's so many to reach. I'm serious about not remembering names. Now, I'll remember a name after I need it, when I don't need it. But when I need it, that name isn't always there. There are so many new people in the family of God, and I thank God for that. And you look around this morning, and it's a pretty good crowd. We're not absolutely filled up, but maybe you knew I was preaching this morning. I don't know, but it is a good crowd. And man, this place is going to be regularly packed out before we get, maybe to the end of this year, but before we get through the winter months. And you know why I know that to be true? Because God wants to bless his people. I know that to be true. Psalm 81, let me just read it. Stand with me. It's not my text. I'm going to read it fast. And I just want to remind you this morning that our God is good. Sing aloud unto God our strength, and make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the psaltery. Blow up the trumpet in the new moon, in the time appointed on our solemn feast day. That's the shofar, calling people to worship. Verse 4 says, in Old Testament Israel, verse 4 says, for this was a statute for Israel and a law of the God of Jacob. This he ordained in Joseph for a testimony when he went out through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not. Good times or bad, captivity or not, God wants to bless his people. And what we're reading in the 81st Psalm, and I'm not preaching it, I'm going to read the rest of it right now. All God requires of us is that we obey his statutes. Put ourselves in the place that God can bless. Can I tell you this? Stop playing footsie with the world and with the flesh and with the culture all around us. Don't try to mix up the two, God's righteousness and the unrighteousness of man. That doesn't work. He said, man, you get it right, I'm going to bless. Verse 6 says, talking about taking them out of Egypt, I removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were delivered from the pots. Thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah, Selah. That's the Exodus. That's God delivering his people. Even in the 400 years of slavery, God was always there for his people. Verse 8 says, hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee. Now the rest of the psalm, this is God speaking. Hear, O my people, I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. There shall no strange God be in thee. Neither shalt thou worship any strange god. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. I feel like I got to pray again right there, right? God says, you just open your mouth, man. You just put yourself in the place where I can bless you, and I'm going to bless you. And again, that's not get-rich theology. God isn't going to make us all millionaires. God isn't going to make us all physically rich. That's not it. God may not give you a brand new home. That is not what it is. He said, if you put yourself in the place of blessing, I will bless your home. I will bless your household. I will bless your family. Father, we want to be like that little bird that opens its mouth wide. And the mother bird comes and gives them all they need. Lord, we this morning, as a church family, we want to open our hearts wide to thee. God, we know you want to do so much. Please do in this service what needs to be done. And again, we pray for America. In Jesus' name, amen. I know I promised you. Let me just read a little bit more before you sit down. All right? It says, but my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own hearts' lusts, and they walked in their own counsels. You'll never outsmart God. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me and Israel had walked in my ways. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with the honey out of the rock should I have been satisfied. He says to Israel, oh, what I could have done for you, but you didn't obey. God help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Take your Bibles and turn back to 2 Chronicles. Actually, I'm not sure if I want to go there quite yet or not, but know this. We are in a spiritual war. We put out an ad on our Facebook. The title, I don't know how anybody could agree with the title. Only God can make America great again. And how many of you saw that? And the words only God were the big words. Only God can make America great again. And you talk about a firestorm. Caroline spent time taking, deleting post after post after post after post. Now, you have a way of controlling some of that, and we sent it all the way down to Gaylord. So it really went to thousands of, I mean, there's some haters out there. There really are. And as a child of God, you have got to, I haven't lost any sleep over it. I just pray that we never get misrepresented, that we never represent our Lord Jesus Christ. There's all kinds of low information Bible people out there. I know that. We got accused of being Christian nationalists. Man, how can you get that out of that title? We got accused by the LGBTQ crowd. I mean, it was a firestorm. But the good news is they're listening. And here, know this again before I start. We are in a war. I heard one old preacher, I read it this last week. I thought, man, that's it. We're in a fight. We better fight like we're the third monkey going up the ramp to Noah's Ark. And brother, it's starting to rain. That's how we ought to be in this. It ought to be a two-fisted kind of affair because the Church of Jesus Christ is under attack. Now, here's what I want to say before I get to 2 Chronicles. The hope of America is not Washington. I was so heartened by what they are calling a red wave, but it didn't fix anything. Nothing, nothing. At best, it is God, and I believe God answering prayer. I just know how many preachers we've been praying together nationwide, and these 24-hour prayer times and these Saturday night prayer meetings. It's been amazing. And we worship a prayer-answering God. And I'm not just attesting it just to that and my little group, although that group is thousands and thousands. But as the family of God, we beseech the throne of God. And I think God heard our prayers. And it just, all it is this. All it is structure. All it is guardrails. It didn't fix anything. We've got to have revival in the New Testament church in the United States of America. Without it, all it was, and I believe it's God staying his hand, God giving us an open window, an open door, like he said to the church at Philippi, or the church of Philadelphia in the book of Revelation. We have an open door and no man's going to close it. Only God is going to close it. We have time right now, right now. I think this is just another opportunity from God, very apropos that we've got the building ready and built, at least for this winter anyway. We got the building done. Pastor Josh said, I don't think we need a building again for a while. Do we, Dad? I just laughed at him. I said, you know what? We're staying on the front line until the trumpet sounds. We're going to move ahead for the glory of God. And a red wave does nothing. We need a wave of the red atoning blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We need the gospel to be preached. Please, 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 please. You know this and I know this. People voted to the right, people voted to the left. But the vast majority know nothing about God. They know nothing about biblical truths. They know nothing about getting saved themselves, let alone leading their neighbor to the Lord. The hope of America is Jesus Christ and is laid at the feet of the church of Jesus Christ. We are that God-ordained instrument that God planted in this world. And we are here at the last of the end of the church age before the trumpet sounds. We are not Israel. And God bless America, and may God always be a friend to Israel. But we are no Israel. We are a nation second to the nation Israel. And I'm a patriot, man. I'm a red, white, and blue, flag-waving, John Wayne American. That is who I am. But Israel, they're God's people. Now the church, we are a people who are not a people. We are the bride of Christ. We are Jews and Gentiles, and, you know, barbarians and Greeks and wise and unwise, male and female, and God has brought us together for such an hour as this. You heard me say this summer. We were born again for this moment. Every once in a while, somebody in a football field, in the locker room or wherever will say, man, I was born for this moment. We were born again as the church for this moment. Take your Bibles, turn to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles in chapter 7. A lot here. I preached some of this summer. I'm not exactly sure how I'm going to get to this. And one more truth. We were accused, I get accused of this periodically, of preaching politics. Number one, we have a First Amendment. Thomas Jefferson wrote that First Amendment, and he wrote it as a result of letters from the Danbury Baptist group. And that First Amendment is that government will establish no religion. It's a one-way street. You say, oh, but the church shouldn't be involved in politics. You got that from the 1960s and the 1970s. That's where you got that from. You did not get, how can we, Jesus, one man posted, Jesus hated government. What in the world are you doing? And I'm thinking, you do not know the Bible. God ordained government. God ordained the family. God ordained the New Testament local church. It's a one-way street. Thomas Jefferson said in that First Amendment, he said, government, you keep your hands out of the church. But church, we're salt and light. We're to influence. We're that city that's supposed to be set on a hill. We need to be involved in all matters of life and impact all matters of life. We can't just let the government run wild. Does that make sense? That's not rebellion. That's not radical thinking at all. Man, you have an impact on the world in which you live. That is, and that is constitutional, by the way, is how that is. Okay, now I know I'm getting a little bit off. I know we can't endorse a candidate. Oh, okay, no problem. I'm going to preach against abortion, though, right? I'm going to preach against perversion. There's two pronouns. You know, I'm going to preach righteousness. You can't take away my Bible and say every time I get on that topic, it's politics. Okay. I got that burr out of my saddle. Now, okay, now we're probably going to really light up the board. But look at it says here in 2 Chronicles in chapter 7. This is it for church. This is it. And this is where we need to be. Now, chapter 5, temple's finished. Chapter 6, Solomon prays. By the way, the result of Solomon's prayer in chapter 6 is found in chapter 7. And God, hearing his prayer, and said, listen, if you forsake your sin, you humble yourself, you pray, you say you forsake your sin, I'll heal your land. That's exactly what Solomon prayed for. And Solomon answers his prayer, fire from heaven. He answers his prayer and says, Solomon, I've heard your prayer, and I will do that. If my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. We worship a prayer-answering God. One of the reasons things turned out, I got up and I pinched myself several mornings in a row because I think it's a miracle. I think it's God answering prayer. You say a miracle like the children of Israel crossing the Red Sea? Yeah, that's what I think. We live in a dark culture. And again, no time for gloating. We got to humble ourselves. Get low before God. It was God that answered prayers. Now, there's a lot more to it than that. Solomon prays. Fire comes down from heaven. There's great worship. There's great exaltation. This is all in chapter 7, the beginnings of the chapter. Verse 4, great sacrifice. You read about Solomon's sacrifices there. Verse 3, great respect for God. Verse 6, great mercy from God. Man, it's all over this passage because his mercy endureth forever. They made a solemn feast. They were glad. They were merry in heart. The scripture says in verse 10, God heard their prayer in a mighty way. So the temple is, let me just kind of bring it down to the lowest form here so we all understand what happened. Solomon builds the temple. Never been a temple built like this. Took 4 years to build. Man, riches poured into that temple. It was a place that represented Shekinah glory, the presence of God. The temple's built. The offerings has been sacrificed. The prayers have been made. There's one thing missing. Shekinah glory. God. The Holy Spirit. I don't care if there's 1,000 red waves. Changes nothing. It changes nothing. Don't kick your feet up and say, oh, we did, man, we've won the world. We've won America. You've got to be kidding. So as a people, we need in the church of Jesus Christ today, can I say it this way? Use some Old Testament terminology. We need your kind of glory. We need that brilliant, dazzling presence of God that will happen. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians 3, there's glory in the church. In the church. Okay, let's go to chapter 7, look at verse 12. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night, and he said unto him, I've heard thy prayer, and I've chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven, these are the very words of Solomon. This is what Solomon was concerned about. He said, God, if you shut up, if the heavens are shut up, if pestilence comes our way, dear God, would you be there? He says, if I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. And he's going to give the answer to that prayer right now in this very next verse. I have heard some of the most godly praying I have ever heard in my life on those national prayer lines. I've alluded to this man before. Rusty Hammer. It just slips in my mind if he's in Louisiana or Kansas now, but that man, you know you're in the presence of God when he prays. Man, when he's done praying, I'm ready to cry or preach, one of the two, every single time. I have heard people beseeching the throne of God in tears, where you hear sobbing on other lines on behalf of America. I believe what happened last Tuesday is the hand of God. I believe it is an open door for the church at Philadelphia. I believe also it hastens our Lord's return. He's coming soon. It says in verse 14, if my people, that's God's people, that is not the world, that is not Washington, that is not Lansing, that is not the culture. They can do their boogie-woogie stuff and all that kind of thing and voodoo magic and call it worship and all that other stuff. That is not, he says, if my people, which are called by my name, that's the church. This is laid at the feet of the church. God says to Solomon, now he's speaking in context to Israel there, but here we are, New Testament, different, new covenant. He says, if my people, that's us, We call ourselves Christians. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. That humility is few and far between. That humility goes counter to the flesh. We, with our lack of humility, want credit for everything. We, with our lack of humility, are proud, too proud to weep over our personal sin. We'd rather argue that it is okay and it's not that big a deal. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. And then he says, pray. Humble prayers. Forget the pretense. Do you have a prayer closet? Or are you a stranger to God? Do you get on your knees? Do you pray Bible prayers? Josh preached one day on George Mueller, and he talked about, after reading the book on George Mueller, how he prayed Bible prayers, how he would read his Bible. He wouldn't just get on his knees to pray. He'd read his Bible, and when he came to a promise, he'd put his finger on that promise, and he would pray that promise, and that's why God answered his prayers. And I tried to do that. Do you have Bible prayers, or it's just gimme, gimme, gimme? It goes along with studying the Word of God. It's a little deeper than God is good, God is great, thank you for our food, amen. If I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. I don't even know the rest of the prayer. I'm not a very good Presbyterian anymore. That's where I learned that. I have no idea. But I mean, from the heart, crying out to God, we need to be a praying people. Jeremiah 33, verse 3, call on me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Go to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. Let's all turn there. Hebrews 4, 15. And most of you are very familiar with it, but some of you would not be. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. 14 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly. How about some bold praying again? How about some humble hearts praying boldly? Let us boldly come under the throne of grace. That's it. That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. When I'm hurting, when I'm tired, when I need strength, when I need wisdom from above, come boldly to the throne of grace. Come and confess America's national sins. We've got many of them. Come and confess personal sin. We've got many of them. And come humble before God and pray for great things from God. And pray for small things from God. God says, listen, I'll hear you. If when famine comes and when pestilence comes and difficult times come and you're at the end of your rope, the proverbial rope, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Let's look at Jeremiah one more time. Jeremiah and look at chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29. Verse 11. 11 you might be familiar with, 12 and 13, I don't think so. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give unto you an expected end. Remember what God said to Israel? I could have done so much for you, but you had to have it your own way. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you. You know, we got to turn back to God. America has got to turn back to God. Fundamental Baptist Church, at every level, we got to turn back to God. I was talking to a couple of the preacher boys, and, you know, why don't we fellowship with this group over here and that group over there? He says, listen, and I told them just like it is, I know they're born again. And I know they're brethren. And I thank God they're going to be in heaven. But they're deluded in what they teach of the Word of God. And I looked them right in the eye and said, and we are deluded enough around here. We don't need to go to the left. You know, we don't need to delude ourselves anymore. Don't think we've arrived. Man, don't think that. We got a long ways to go. There are more people that have got to be reached. And right from the preacher, right on down to whoever the lowest person is, it's probably the preacher down there at the other end as well. We've got to humble ourselves before God. We've got to pray. We've got to seek God's face. And then we've got to turn from evil. Look what it says again. Second Chronicles chapter 7. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open. He says, I'm listening. And mine ears attent unto the prayers that is made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. He said, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, and do accordingly, according to all that I have commanded thee, and shalt observe my statutes and my judgments, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom. And then the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. See, man is waiting for God to heal and forgive. And God is waiting for man to turn, to ask, and to repent. He said, if you do that, I'll make you mighty among the nations of the world. You'll be my lighthouse. He entrusted them, Book of Romans, with the oracles of God, with the word of God. It's through their lineage the Messiah came to this earth. He said, man, if you do that, I will bless you. But if you don't do that, we don't have time to read the rest of the chapter. He said, if you don't do that, your name will become a byword. People will walk by, see the ruins of your society and say, oh, what God could have done. And that's what God is saying from heaven to the church. You don't have to be special. You already are when you're born again. You don't have to have a great amount of talent. You need to turn and forsake your evil and wicked ways, as do I. We need to get humble and bow low before God. You know there aren't going to be any Republicans and or Democrats in heaven. Won't be any independents. There won't be any elections. Man, we worship the King. Amen. To the King. The little twisted mind of Tim Rader. I go off on these little caveats all the time. I remember we were in a John Knapp's. But anyway, it was a coffee house, a restaurant, kind of equivalent to Big Boy. I'll remember it this afternoon. This afternoon at supper, I'll yell it out and everybody will wonder what I'm talking about. But I'm sitting there with four other preachers, and one of them's a missionary, and he happened to be a missionary from Ireland. And we got our coffee, and he took his coffee cup, and he raised it up, and he said, he looked at all of us and said, and everybody's looking at us now, he said, to the King. I said, yeah. And all four of us, we clicked our coffee cups. Coffee is a godly drink. I don't know if you know that. We clicked our coffee. To the King. We all said it. Everybody kind of looked at us. What in the world is going on over there? We serve a King. And we got to get as many people into the family of God as we possibly can. Okay, I see some empty seats right there. Not as many on this, but there's a couple of, that area right there is empty. I don't know why that is. And that front, well, not the whole front row. And, you know, we're filling it in. You got some neighbors that aren't born again? You got to lead them to Christ. Say, what if they never come to church? Then they never come to church. Lead them to Christ. Maybe you can get them to church and they'll get saved here. But we have a responsibility. We have a dispensation of time committed against us as the family of God. What are you going to do with your house now? You could make some good decisions based on 2 Chronicles 7:14. And you could start reading your Bible. You could have a prayer closet. You could attend church every service. Just like Solomon made the promise to the temple. Paul said to the church at Ephesus, there's glory in the church. In the church. Now you carry the Holy Spirit with you when you're born again, and that's a wonderful truth. When all God's people get together, and they're doing right, God bless us.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you good news from the Good Book.